Good morning. How are you doing there, Matt Neely? Thanks so much for news highlights. Some of them are a little bit troubling. We've got another stabbing. I don't know what's up with Sundran.
Definitely wanted to end the newscast with something on a little more positive note. So yes. veterans teaching our kids.
Teachers. Yeah, that's a really great headline and so needed. A great way to put two great groups together, veterans and the teaching of everyone, lifelong learning.
Indeed.
I'm a firm believer and I am the product. All my parents and step-parents are educators. We're educators. Their careers in teaching and education at all levels. So that's a really exciting thing. And my dad served in the Air Force. So there you go.
All right.
Kind of wrapping it up together.
Indeed.
It is the last Monday of 2025. Can you believe it? We've made it. We are here, still standing.
Cannot believe it, Lydia.
And
this year screamed past, hurtled past.
We have gotten there. There have been a lot of things going on this year, and I'm excited for today's show because we have two more fabulous guests as our last 2025 Monday of Rainmakers. This morning, we have Lisa Sesma, the general manager of Casino del Sol. Lisa, welcome to Rainmakers.
Good morning, Lydia.
So excited to have you here, and as we usually do on Monday mornings, first thing that we kick off is we do a little reflection of what National Day today might be. And there's always interesting categories. So, Matt, here we go. December 29, 2025 is National Pepper Pot Day. Pepper pot being a stew or soup.
Yes.
Are you familiar? Is it one of your favorites in the winter?
I don't know. I don't know if one of my favorites, but I'm definitely familiar with it. Yes, it's very tasty.
It is very tasty. Also, and I guess it's a fairly traditional stew. Also, TikTok Day. Not TikTok like we know it more currently in social media, but okay. TikTok like the clock is ticking. You got to get some things done. What do you need done before the end of the year?
So we're going to cram for a one-year exam. We're going to cram in the last 2 days.
That's
gotcha.
Right.
Got it.
It's called TikTok Day. And a reminder to get things done before this year ends. According to the national calendar, but it is also International Cello Day. So celebrating the wonderful instrument, that type of music, cellists themselves. So Yo-Yo Ma comes to mind. Who recently I saw a video of he at about 7 or 8 years old with his older sister at the time, who was 11, who was a pianist, and they were playing, I want to say, at the Lincoln Center or somewhere in D.C., some very renowned venue, and they were playing with the symphony orchestra, and he was just so young. I mean, the cello was bigger than he was, and he sat there on his chair and just did a great job.
Well, I'm going to have to wish is it cellist or cello day?
Cello.
Cello. I'm going to have to wish a happy cello day to my favorite local cellist, Kirsten, and I'll leave her last name off, but I'm going to text her as soon as we go to break.
Well, wonderful. Yeah. Well, let's celebrate Kirsten today. And our last, as a point worldwide, Mongolia Independence Day is today. So it's a national holiday in Mongolia. Who knew? I didn't know that. So there we go. A lot of things going on this Monday morning. So we are here at Rainmakers. Rainmakers celebrates that fun, sweet spot where people and programs and organizations come together around workforce, around education, around business and nonprofit, and all those initiatives that help uplift Southern Arizona and help Southern Arizona people and businesses thrive. And like I mentioned before, we have Lisa Sesma, the general manager of Casino del Sol Resorts and Casinos. And she is definitely, or you, I'm looking right at you, are definitely a rainmaker. You make it rain in so many ways. So excited to have you here, my friend.
I'm so excited to be here, first of all, because I haven't seen you in a long time, and
yes.
Second of all, just to have this conversation.
Well, lots that we're going to talk about today, and one of the things, and yes, we don't get to see each other as far as spending time, but we did have fun at some galas. We see each other on the dance floor at some of these celebrations, or standing in line, or talking at many of the year galas, but it's been a while. I think it's been a couple months, so great to have you here. Lots and lots of great things going on with the casino. But before we get to that, I'd love for our listeners and viewers, in case they're not aware of your fabulous background, to talk a little bit about you and what brought you into the role that you're here. For example, you have a bachelor's degree in tourism and recreation management, along those lines, yes?
Yes, I do.
And you studied at?
I, not daily, But, you know, yes. It is in the realm, so it's good.
Good, good. And where did you earn your degree?
Arizona State.
Yes, you're a Sun Devil. I'm a Sun Devil, so people know me as both a Wildcat and a Sun Devil, having attended both universities, so I usually blend that. But yeah, go Devils. It's not always quite as common. And so we have to make sure to have forks up, they say.
That's right.
Wonderful. And you have held, you are very active in community. I know that when you and I many years ago got to know each other, it was not so much in your day job, although that was part of it. It was really in your intersection with all these other community orgs. And one that comes to mind, I believe you're still on the board of Tohono O'Toole.
Is
that correct?
Yes.
And Girl Scouts?
Yes.
Yes. We've had Kristen in here a few times on Rainmakers talking about the fabulous things that go on over at Girl Scouts. And I think you and I have chatted about, I served on the Girl Scouts board of Arizona Cactus Pines, so we have that in common. Of course, the Southern Arizona Hispanic Chamber.
Yes.
Back in my day, it was still four different chambers. So lots of different things swirling around. So that means a lot of attention to community, to children and girls in particular, to entrepreneurship, and to our natural environment, our natural parks, lots of the cultures, and what happens with botanicals. Tohono O'Toole is a fabulous organization, and they give back an awful lot more than probably folks are aware of.
Yes, for sure. And it's such a great place that people don't really know much about it. So getting the word out there is so great. It's so fun to be part of that board.
Yes, I believe so. And such a lovely area. So a venue where people are able to celebrate or just meet up and have some fellowship and take a kind of a walk through nature.
Yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. One of my favorite spots in Tucson.
And for me especially, and we've got rain coming up this week, we're gonna keep bringing that rain like Matt announced. What a lovely place to be when it's a little bit overcast or when there's a drizzle like we've had in recent days.
Yes.
So anybody out there, if you're wanting to have just a little bit different spot to have your coffee or take a walk, I believe pet friendly. I don't remember if small dogs are allowed, I think, and you have to have them leashed. One of my other favorite things to do there is sometimes in the evenings they have jazz musicians and other local musicians that they give space for.
Yes. So I know the days differ from season to season, but they have the Friday and Saturday nights. They have some nice music there, you know, local bands. And then on Sunday, they have jazz in the afternoon, too.
Yep.
So those prickly pear iced teas or margaritas are great.
A great way to enjoy our beautiful Sonoran Desert. So with your studies and the degree that you've earned, and also just with the examples that I've been giving of the kind of organizations that you're in, Lisa, it is not so far-fetched that you are in the industry that you are. However, it's more rare to find a woman in the role that you are. And you certainly earned your way and worked your way up that ladder, so to speak. Tell us about that journey.
Oh, it was very unexpected. So coming from Phoenix, you know, I was in hospitality after college, and it's all I ever wanted to do. I love hospitality. I wanted to work for my tribe, and they had a hotel coming up. So what better way, you know, hospitality, Casino del Sol. I started as an event manager, and planning parties was so much fun to me. That was it. That was my end goal, I thought. I had a boss who wanted me to work as an assistant manager at the front desk, and I was just like, no, thank you. I'll just run these events over here and be awesome. And I ended up going to the hotel. 6 months later, I was director of the hotel. You know, I felt like, oh no, what am I doing here? You know, just that imposter syndrome. You know, it's just like, what is going on? So after...
Where you get to a level and all of a sudden you're looking around saying, I didn't expect it, but now what do I do?
Yes, yes. And it's just like, okay, sink or swim. And I'm not going to sink. I'm not a sinker. So kept my head above water, and it was amazing. But also there at the casino, we have succession programs that they do. They mm-hmm. have, you know, frontline leader programs, management development programs. So I decided to take a couple of those, and I was just like, oh, there's so much more to hospitality in this space. Like, there's gaming. Mm-hmm. I've never worked in gaming. Let's see what that is. So working in gaming or working in hospitality and transitioning a little, learning more, I was able to do a executive development program.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it was great. So, you know, there was probably about 10 people who applied, and they were going to choose two tribal members. And at the end of this program, one would become the chief operating officer of Casino del Sol. So Miguel Escamilla, the other GM, and I were chosen for this program, 18 months, and it was like,
hardcore.
Yes, I
can see the look on your face.
Yes, it was definitely hardcore. And you know, I don't have a master's, but I feel like that's kind of what the master's program would be. So I feel like I have a master's at Casino del Sol. But it was exciting, you know, exciting learning and taking that journey with Miguel. So at the end, instead of making one chief operations officer, they made two general managers, because we were kind of seeing Vahita, our new casino coming mm-hmm. up, and you know, there were talks, and if we had two GMs, one could be there and one could be here. So it was great, scary, fun, all of the emotions, but I am so happy at where I am now.
Oh, well, congratulations to you, and what a journey, and what a great vision, visioning of your superiors as well, to look to ahead to the future. And instead of just saying, well, here's all we have, so we're just going to pick one, they started to say, well, we can make this work now, keep both of them going after all this hard work and learning, and be prepared for what the future of the organization was going to look like.
Right.
What a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And believe it or not, we are at our first commercial break. So here on this Monday morning, December 29th, we're listening to Lisa Sesmet, General Manager of Casino del Sol Resorts and Casino. And you're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, we're grooving this morning. It is Monday, December 29th, the final Monday of 2025 and the final Monday of Rainmakers, because when it's Monday mornings here at 10:30, The Voice, we've got The Morning Voice, the Rainmakers segment. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and this morning for our first hour, our guest is Lisa Sesmet, the General Manager of Casino del Sol. Lisa, we were speaking so wonderfully about your path and how you ascended into this role. How exciting. There is a lot going on at the resort for Casino del Sol, for the community, for the tribe. Let's dive into some of the exciting things that have been happening of late. One of the most recent announcements is a really big announcement with a new partnership between the casino and the University of Arizona. Naming rights. U of A Stadium is now Casino del Sol Stadium, and it's a big one, one of the biggest in Big 12 history.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah. It is super exciting. You know, being a Sun Devil, it was not hard at all to switch. The guys laugh at me because, you know, they're just like, oh, you're so hardcore Sun Devil. But what this means to the community and to the tribe outweighs everything.
Yes.
Everything, you know, all of it's just more than a stadium name. It's more than that, you know. The national coverage is going to be great for not only Casino del Sol and the Bosco Yaqui tribe, but for Tucson in general, you know. So along with that, we're still working out details. So along with that, you know, it's a lot of interaction with the university, you know, in education, in, you know, all of the things that really make us a community. So it's more than a naming right, and I hope that people are able to see that, you know, it on both sides there's controversy, but I feel as community, that's what we need to do to come together, and it's just going to be fabulous. We went to the Arizona Bowl on Saturday, and it was so exciting to be able to sit there. I can't wait to see the, you know, whatever murals or whatever marketing, advertising there that say Casino del Sol, but it's so exciting. It feels like home, you know.
How wonderful. And I think you put it very well that there are issues and challenges on both sides, sometimes controversies on both sides. But there's an old phrase that I like that sometimes the only way out is through, which means we got to push through this and do it together to find our way through and make it better on the other end, get to that light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully it not being a train.
Yes.
As the other saying goes. But yes, the opportunity to really highlight the art, the culture, the locality, the venue, not just have it feel like a business name or a corporate name, but this is really about local. And local speaks a lot, and it comes in a lot of different ways, lots of veins, and that collaboration is going to be really key. I think so many of us are excited about this opportunity, what it will bring. You spoke about education, and certainly the sports is not only about sports activity. It is about studying sports. It can be about sports medicine and health and bringing up more athletes, paying attention to many different things. NELO comes to mind. I know that that's been a really big deal for college campuses and college athletes, but a lot more in that, and all of the different career paths that can come in that way too, and the studying of all of that.
For sure.
So exciting. We've been super excited. And again, it's one of the biggest, largest in Big 12 history by way of length and amount.
Yes.
Right? So it's a big deal. How so far are all of your staff and team? I bet they're getting really excited about this too.
They are so excited. It's such a great thing because, you know, like I said before, growing up, we didn't have that. We didn't have Yaki's in place, you know, in those places. We never saw ourselves there. We never saw ourselves at U of A. And now those student athletes are coming down to the Pascua Yaki Reservation and they're holding camps. You know, they're talking about education. They're talking about school. And it's so exciting because now the youth can be like, I can do that.
Right.
I have the opportunity to do that. And that is one of the biggest things that touches my heart about it.
Good.
You know?
Well, and I'm wondering, I think it probably goes both ways, that now that this is going on with more interaction, maybe there can also be more students, U of A students or other community college or people on their way who maybe haven't thought about going back to school, and now they might think about doing that, or they might be interns in your organization, and it sort of flows in multiple directions.
Yep. Yep, there's going to be so much opportunity. You know, I am super excited. I can't wait for it to, you know, all be said and done, and just, it's so exciting.
It really, really is. And one of the things I'll be really interested in hearing about, and you spoke to a little bit, the kind of murals and other artwork that will start to come from this partnership. And because of the length of time, there is a lot of opportunities. So I do hope that we speak more about that, and we'd love to have you not only back on the show, but even offline, talking about the art, because that's really an expression of the culture that stays in this community as well.
Yep, I agree. I would be happy to.
Yes, the gift that keeps on giving. with that, let's talk also about Grant Avenue.
Woo!
I'm sorry, Grant Road, excuse me. So expansion. I know that we have a few minutes before our next break. Maybe we can talk. You can give us the latest for any listeners or viewers who may not be aware. There's a second location, a rebuild that's been happening over on Grant Road for another casino, other opportunities. And that's been a few years in the making.
It really
has.
Tell
us that story.
It really has. And you know, we didn't know it was going to come to fruition so fast, and we are super excited. So our property on Grant Road is going to be called Casino del Sol Vahi Ta'am, which means the third sun, because we have our original, the sun casino.
Casino the sun.
And then we have Casino del Sol, and now we have Casino del Sol Vahi Ta'am. So it is so exciting. We just got the pylon sign up within the last month, and that thing is amazing. I cannot wait for it to be lit up. We just put our dome in place, so that is exciting. You know,
and that happened just a few weeks ago.
It did.
November.
Yes,
October,
yes.
November.
I think it was actually in December, early December.
Oh,
I
goodness.
Think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very recent. It's super
and it's a
awesome.
Big dome. This is not just a little pretend like it's a dome or it's shaped that way. I mean, this was the real deal.
Yes, it's and it's great because on Christmas Day, my son and I were driving up to Phoenix, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, you can see the dome from Congress! Like that's awesome. It's great. It just the feeling.
Oh, I bet.
It's just so like the pride." I feel. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. We will be having a dome lighting ceremony soon, you know, just to get once we get electric in the building and we'll definitely share that. But it's going to be so great to have that lit up and you can see that at night. Ah. I'm so excited.
That's great. We can hardly wait to hear about that so we can plan to be there. Mm-hmm. Tell me the name again. Vahita-am.
Yes, Vahita-am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And am I pronouncing that right?
Vahita-am.
Yes. Okay. Not going to be quite as expansive, certainly, as Casino del Sol because mm-hmm. the footprint and won't have, obviously, golf course and,
right.
and things like that. But hotel rooms?
Not the okay. first phase. Yeah. Okay. So the first phase just includes our garage and then our casino floor. Mm-hmm. So eventually, you know, we'll see what Tribal Council decides. And, you know, maybe a hotel, maybe an event space. We don't know yet, but we're excited to be there.
And it seems like there's room to grow. You've planned it well so that you have that expansive. So very exciting. Any thought about when the casino floor might open?
We are hoping. So I'll keep our fingers crossed. 11/11/26.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. That's not that far away.
That's not.
It's going to come up quickly. Well, believe it or not, you've brought us to our second commercial break. We are at the bottom of the hour. You've been listening to Lisa Sesmagay, the general manager of Casino del Sol, and we've been speaking about all the expansion and the partnerships that happen with the tribe, with the casino, and our community here in Pima County and beyond.
Yes.
So stay tuned. We've got more to talk about. You're listening to Rainmakers, the Morning Voice on 1030 The Voice. So bad news, talking this and that, as Farrah would say, give it all you got. It won't hold us back. We're happy this morning. We are happy on December 29th. It is the final Monday, the final Rainmakers episode of 2025, but we got a lot more coming in the new year. And as we move to wrap up this year, we have still some fabulous guests who are making great things happen and have a lot planned for the new year. This first hour, we've been speaking with Lisa Sesma, the general manager of Casino del Sol, and as I am honored to say, my friend and colleague out in community who is also linking not only the resort, but the people of the resort, the employees, the team, the guests, the opportunities into the greater community. And you definitely don't walk that path alone. How many people now work for the resort and casino?
Oh, I want to say 1,500.
That is an awful lot of folks on your team.
Yes.
And so many of them are coming at a young age, but also returning back into the workforce. So you're making a difference on many levels. And you spoke about your own training opportunities. I think you all have a lot of different pathways for folks to move across the line, horizontally, vertically, get some training, learn new skills. I am going to talk about a family member of mine who is a fabulous server at the PY. He's been there for a while, but he actually cut his teeth over at Soul Brew and learned a little bit of that and now is in the upscale over at PY. But he's starting to find out more about being a sommelier and all that. So you all have a lot of different pathways and ways that people can train.
Right. There's just so much more, you know, and just getting people wanting to do it. There's so many jobs at Casino del Sol that if you want to do something more, mm-hmm. you can, and we will provide that training for you.
Right.
You know, like it's limitless.
And you welcome all kinds of folks to apply. You don't have to only be from the tribe.
Correct. Right.
Or from another tribe.
Right.
Not only indigenous, but folks from mm-hmm. the local community who might be down the street or are coming to go to school at the U or at Pima Community College and many other places.
Yes, we just actually, I do new hire orientation every Wednesday, and we just had two people come from the Midwest. And, you know, we were joking. I was just like, oh, I bet you've never had a 85 degrees Christmas, and you know, they were kind of laughing, but yeah, from the Midwest, from everywhere.
Very different experience, yes, weather-wise for sure, and just culture is very different.
Yes,
we have the beautiful mountains and the swirls and all the great things. It's just a different viewpoint, and that really shapes people's view and the opportunities, I think, to interact with what the tribe itself are doing, planning, running, the expansion of housing, the expansion of small business, community college opportunities, and all of that. So do you, in your role, and then does the casino generally get to interact with tribal leaders in more than just, I guess I want to say, more than just formal interactions? Do you get to sit and sort of strategize together and understand the visions of the leaders?
So we do, you know, not in a big, huge way, but we're able to have those, you know, in our monthly meetings. You know, we're just so in tuned with one another, the casino and you know, the tribal council, and we're able to kind of just shoot stuff back and forth. You know, nothing set in stone, but just, oh, these are our ideas. Oh, these are our ideas. So it's so great to have a tribal council who's very supportive of what we do and who want to help the casino in, you know, just getting, like I said, Vahita Om, you know, just growing the casino. That's how we make our money. You know, we aren't blessed with, you know, logging or all of the other economic development that other tribes have. So the casino right now is what we have, and that's what we want to, you know, keep growing. And the tribe understands that, you know, we understand that. So we're all within the same goal. We want the same outcome. So
that's fabulous. And of course, leaders are here in town, down south, but you have some of the leaders are elected and actually live up in the valley, up in the Guadalupe area or surrounding areas, and come down on a daily basis. I've been at some meetings where folks are just Monday through Friday, they're driving down and at the offices here on the tribal lands. So being a more urban tribe, and interacting, all of that. One of the things, well, so many nations do this, but Pascua Yaqui in particular seems to be very focused on giving back. And that is in addition to the ways that Casino Little Soul gives back. So how do you coordinate that? When folks are interested, let's say nonprofits of that focus on, oh, I don't know, maybe it's affordable housing, or maybe it's food, and or maybe it's education and workforce. So, what are the processes to get with Casino del Sol for requests, or if people are curious about how to talk to the casino about sponsorship and stuff? Is that through your office, or do you point them to the marketing department, or what would they do?
We have a director of community relations. Her name is Jacqueline Martinez, and she handles all of that. She is absolutely amazing. She is a department of one, and that was my job prior.
Yes.
You know, so she is a department of one, and she is doing phenomenal. She has started a volunteer program.
Oh, wow.
Where we're able to have some of our team members go and volunteer. We recently helped ICS last Friday, or the Friday before Christmas, you know, handing out food boxes. And it's a great sense of community, but we do a lot more, and we love to do it, you know, and getting our team involved is great, because even my kids, when we go out and get involved, they're just like, wow, we're spoiled.
You really get opened up to the situations that others go through, and that there but for the grace of God go I.
Yes.
And also, what can I do to help, right? The difference that one person makes of any age. And the reason I bring that up is not only to let our listeners and viewers know a little bit more about how they might get involved, or how they could maybe co-volunteer with you out in community, but also in case their organization might be inquiring about support, they know to go to Jackie. So on your website of the resort, does it mention how to put those, should we tell folks where to reach?
Yes, for sure. So it is at casinodelsol.com. Mm-hmm. And it just went out of my head, but there's a community page.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called, but it's there on our website. There's a little link, a little drop down, and that has Jackie's information
on there, okay, and how you can help the help Casino del Sol, help the community, or if you need sponsorships, donations, anything like that, you know, to inquire on there.
I am looking, let's see, well, we will find it as we continue, and yeah, we'll do another promo of that. But also in our next segment, we're going to have Jim Murphy coming on for our second hour. And Jim is fabulous gentleman. Of course, he's a former city councilman here in the city of Tucson, a former Pima County supervisor. He retired out of being a CEO of Pima Council on Aging. But he volunteers so much that he is lead volunteer coordinator for Southern Arizona, for the AARP Southern Arizona efforts, and he's going to be speaking about volunteering, the importance of volunteering, the impact it makes on a community, but also on a person. And as you were saying, your kids, when they join you, get to understand the power they have, yes, of being able to participate in community, and that's really what it's all about, is giving back. The tribe does a great job also of support, and that's separate. That is going to the tribe for their charitable giving, yes, and their outreach in community, and they have rolling applications, as I recall. I don't think that process has changed, so folks can go to the tribe, Pascua Yaqui tribe, to inquire more there. And those are very separate but related, yes, opportunities to give back. And I love when the impact that you both are making in that way and the strategies that you're creating together.
Yep, it's exciting.
It's really very, very exciting. I was going to ask you about, it just left my mind right now, but as we were talking, so we'll switch to entertainment, and I'll think of my other question in a second. Casino del Sol has been well known for its venues of concerts, the Ava Center, and tell me, the amphitheater, and yeah, bringing in a lot of different folks in different ways. Will that happen at the new Grant Road? Do you think that venue, or is it just going to be casino floor without, at least at first, without,
right,
a venue?
Right. It will just be casino floor at first. You know, we just want to kind of get to see, you know, what's going on, how can we do, what can we do? We don't want to take away from AVA at all. You know, we also want to be able to have fun stuff too. So
sure,
that's just a conversation.
Maybe smaller mm-hmm, footprint.
Yeah. Right, right.
So AVA's got a lot coming up. Anything really big happening for New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve in the casino, we will be having Gigi and the Glow. I believe her set is going to be starting at 10. Prior to that, we will have dinners available, you know, at our different restaurants. We will have a huge VIP dinner. So if you are all VIP guests and you get an invite, please come down. They have a great show for you all too. So, and then at midnight is the big balloon drop. So that's exciting. It's, yes, exciting to be there.
Now, some folks may be unaware or just not as familiar with the fact that over at Casino del Sol on Valencia, you've had the golf course, you've had the main casino floor and the hotel, the original hotel associated with that. But more recently, Estrella has been sort of the second hotel wing and is really doing well, constantly,
yes,
full of reservations, a little bit newer. And that's, what, about 3 years now?
It's probably
does that
about
sound right?
It sounds right, but it could be longer.
Yeah.
I lose my I lose my sense
close
of time.
Enough, yeah. So at AVA coming up in later January, I see that Chris Jansen will,
yes,
be there January 22nd. And coming up in the spring, Ice Cube is coming out in April,
yes,
and a lot of acts in between.
Yes, so we're excited. The thing with AVA is that we do have to shut down during Quaresma. So between mm-hmm, Ash Wednesday and Easter, mm-hmm, you know, our tribe is a huge, big cultural celebration.
Yes.
So we do shut down from that time to that time. But we are trying to expand a little bit more in bringing shows. You know, we usually shut down shows in November, but having those December and January shows, especially at times like this when it's 84
yeah,
degrees,
when the weather's beautiful
in December.
So, you gotta love it.
Yeah, yeah. A light sweater. You know, if people will get out there during the hot summer, I'm sure they'll be able to get out there for a little chillier weather.
Yes, a little chillier, a little cooler, mm-hmm, but beautiful days. We're going to take our last commercial break briefly here. We're going to be right back. You've been listening to Rainmakers I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and our first guest has been Lisa Sesma, Casino del Sol GM. Stay tuned. Hello, Average White Band. We're listening to Cut the Cake this morning as we wrap up our first hour of our show on our final Monday of 2025, Monday, December 29th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. This is Rainmakers of the Morning Show. The Morning Voice Show. On 1030 The Voice, we've got Matt Neely behind the glass, and we've been speaking this first hour to Lisa Sesma, General Manager of Casino del Sol. Lisa, it's been such a pleasure having you on this morning.
Thank you so much. It's been great being here.
And of course, cutting the cake because it's a little bit early birthday for you. I won't say the exact day, but this week you are celebrating your birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. The Morning Voice and the Rainmaker crew and everybody here at KVOI and Bustos Media. So much going on, and you've shared so many exciting things. We're excited about the Vajita Am and the developments, the dome being on being placed, and soon there'll be a dome lighting. Of course, all of the great entertainment and activities that can continue at Casino del Sol and Resort and Golf Course and AVA Center. And with everything that you, your team, and the tribe do together and individually to support community, I did bring up on the website, which is CasinoDelSol.com, the main website. If our listeners and viewers go there and scroll down about the middle of the page, there's a We Give Back section, and you can learn more there about how to get in touch with Jacqueline Martinez and community outreach. If you need a volunteer, if you're looking maybe for sponsorship, and of course, great venue deals.
Yes.
Reserve your hotel rooms, get out to the golf course, get some tickets for a performance. Lots of great things going on.
Yep.
What have I forgotten, Lisa?
Nothing. Just come on down. That New Year's Eve party is going to be fabulous. If you need some tea times, it's the perfect weather. Sawailo is ready for you. So come on down.
We've got it going on. And if you're part of the Casino del Sol team or you want to be, there's a career link there too of how to become part of the team. If you're already in, there might be some opportunities for leadership development, sommelier experience, training, music, arts, brewing coffee, all of it going on. So thank you again for all you do. Thanks for making it. It's been a fabulous year, 2025. It's been good for all of you. Mm-hmm. And you all continue to make it good for Southern Arizona. Can't tell you thank you enough and appreciating you and all you do. I look forward to all these great things in 2026. Come back and see us.
Definitely will. Thank you, Lydia.
It's been wonderful. Matt, hasn't this been a great conversation?
Indeed.
I always learn a little bit more about what's going on. I think I know all the headlines, and then there are more.
Yeah. Well, and as I was saying during the break off air, I really liked hearing the perspective, her perspective of what the stadium sponsorship means to her and her community, which yes. It was a really neat perspective to hear that, because we hear the news and we think of the business aspect of it or whatever, but hearing what it means locally to them is really cool.
Yes, and that it can be an ongoing partnership for a lot of people in a lot of ways, and our small businesses all over are going to help with that too.
For sure.
They're going to be able to feel that, so it's great. It's been wonderful. Have a great rest of your week. And again, happy birthday, Lisa Sesma, General Manager of Casino del Sol. Coming right up, we're going to have Jim Murphy talk to us about volunteering across Southern Arizona. So stay tuned to Rainmakers, the Morning Voice on 1030 The Voice.
And coming up tomorrow on the Morning Voice, special encore edition of Civic Engagement with Ted Maxwell. Ted will be speaking with Colleen Sanchez from IBM, and a replay of the Bill Buckmaster interview as Bill gets ready to transition from a daily show to a once weekly show on Friday. That'll still be right here on 1030 The Voice. Got a great show coming up tomorrow and lots more coming up on today's show right after the break.
And we're back for our second hour on this final Monday of 2025, December 29th. You're listening to Rainmakers because it is a Monday. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we have been speaking in our first hour with Lisa Sesma, who is the General Manager of Casino del Sol Resorts. And now in our second hour, we welcome another returning guest, Mr. Jim Murphy, who is one of our favorite guests here. He does so much much in community, spent a very long career serving in public service as a Tucson City Councilman, certainly in Pima County on the Board of Supervisors. He was a county administrator, and then kind of wrapped up a really long career by serving as CEO of Pima Council on Aging, where he then retired and didn't sit still, but instead really focused on what he was doing on the side anyway, volunteering. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, volunteerism, its importance, the power that you get of spending more of your time helping others, and kind of the difference between formal volunteering, like what you help lead, Jim, at AARP with their Southern Arizona efforts and volunteer corps, but also informal volunteering where people can give back. Lisa was speaking a little bit about taking her kids with her when she goes out in community, and sometimes it's giving boxes of food out, sometimes it might be helping with pets, but volunteering can happen on a very personal level as well. So welcome back, Jim Murphy, to Rainmakers.
Thank you very much, and I love talking about volunteerism, and you know, volunteerism not something new.
No.
You know, it's kind of part of founding this company with neighbors raising the barn or volunteer fire departments, which still exist today in mm-hmm. many parts of rural America. But it really dropped during the pandemic, so many other devastating things that happened during the pandemic. But it started to, excuse me, rise again. And mm-hmm. Years ago, you mentioned Pima Council on Aging, and Marion Lupu was the original and long-standing executive director, and another individual in the community who worked a lot with older adults and forming new ways to help individuals who are older, and even younger disabled. Ted Koff talked a lot about volunteerism, in fact, went to other countries. It's something in America that's kind of new to the rest of the world. And they went to China, to Russia, even the UK, and talked about volunteerism, which was not really known in those days. And it's not as strong in most countries as it is in the United States. So
that's right.
Today, you know, we're going to kind of explore the difference, as you said, between formal and informal, present some statistics about volunteering, expose the good, bad, and ugly
yes,
of volunteering.
Yeah. There are some challenges that come, especially if you're the one coordinating the volunteers. That can be a little hair puller on
that's
at times.
Right. And, you know,
herding cats comes to mind.
Everybody doesn't have a good experience, but most people do in volunteering. And then talk about the benefits to the individual and the community, and where to get information about volunteering. So that's kind of what we're going to try to do very
well,
short time
today. Well, I think it's
today.
A great way to wrap up a busy year. And I want to hit on a couple points. First of all, I want to show one of the slides out to our viewers who can see there. There is a difference between civic engagement and community engagement. Often, both of those things can be happening on a volunteer basis. But going back to something you said, that volunteering is part of our DNA as a country, that we have had communities come together to help each other in the really big projects. And then as municipalities grew or maybe shrunk and services and resources might be a little bit further and farther between, that's when volunteer corps for safety, neighborhood watch, volunteer fire departments, I mean, all of those kinds of things really come into play. In the news headlines, we were speaking about veterans stepping up and helping with the teacher shortage. So pulling from folks who have been very well trained in military and who maybe have some opportunity to give back. We depend on a lot of volunteers as teacher aides, parents and teachers coming together in schools. So there are lots of examples of where volunteering really takes place.
Absolutely. So many benefits to the community. Without volunteerism, many services would not be provided. Many improvements in the community would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers fill essential service gaps in services. They boost local economies.
Mm-hmm.
They foster social connections. It builds a culture of care. I mean, volunteerism is, you know, talk a little bit about formal and informal, but it empowers residents to do positive change in a community. So there's so many benefits to the community, and without it, people would suffer more than they do today.
Oh, I think so as well. And I like that something you have said, and you'll probably get into this a little bit, about leaving a legacy of positive change. That is one of the outcomes of volunteering, is that the impact that it has on whatever the need or community or family or cause. And then it can help build a pattern, a legacy of a family that gives, or a legacy right. in a community where that action can be cyclical and build upon itself and expand.
And I think most of us think in that context about volunteering, but one I'd like to talk about, and you mentioned, is the informal
yes.
caregiving. And that's like small acts of kindness, mm-hmm. things we do all the time, and we don't think about it as volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, you know, this country was kind of based on people helping each other and not being selfish, holding the door open for someone, picking up a neighbor's newspaper, bringing neighbors groceries, taking them to an appointment. So there are many things that we do each day that really help build the relationship in the community, help build the community. Informal volunteering, it's estimated in some of the statistics that an estimated 54.2% of Americans helped or exchanged favors with neighbors.
That's half. That's more than half.
And I think it's really understated, because you can do a lot of polls or develop a lot of data through organizations that keep records. But there's no record keeping of helping your neighbor.
That's right.
And in this day and age, with the population aging so much,
mm-hmm.
The fastest growing cohort are 85 and older. The boomers are now starting to reach 80 years old. MetLife did a study a long time ago about the boomer generation and how the leading boomers, which are the ones that are coming to 80 right now, the middle boomers and the younger boomers all had, it's a large age difference in that, and they all have a little different outlooks on life and different kind of ethics as you move along.
That's right.
But so the boomers now finally have understood aging, because they're having to help mom and grandma and grandpa. So the whole issue of aging is more in front of everybody than it ever been in the past. I know when Marion Lupu started the aging network in Pima County, for years, PCOA, Pima Council on Aging, has been there, but people didn't really know it. They didn't
know it as the formal organization that it's turned into, and it's been a wonderful resource.
Yeah, and people were
kind
more
of a hub for so many others.
Keeping people at home. You know, you didn't have people moving away and the dynamics that's happened over the last 30 or 40 years.
Right.
So informal caregiving is certainly that we need to recognize, and the value of it in the community.
I really think it's interesting that I think you shared a statistic. As you said, an estimated 54.2 Americans helped or exchanged favors with neighbors. And between September 2022 and 2023, that was the stat. And that had grown a lot since 2018, 2019, when it was hovering more at like 50, 51%. I'm going to guess in that time frame, coming through a pandemic, opened up, because we saw it all the time, people were a little bit more open to the fact of checking on their neighbor, making sure people down the street were okay, even though we were all sheltering in place for a time when that lifted. We were taking care of each other a little bit more. I don't know if that's declined or increased since then, now that we are wrapping up 2025 and heading into 2026. I'm hoping that if it was not increasing, that we help it grow more.
It's increasing at a rapid rate.
Good.
Through 24, where there are some statistics available, it's still not up to the level that it was before the pandemic, but it is increasing every year. And as I mentioned, you know, it's not a new thing about volunteering, but a lot of people got a little selfish and a little closed in during the pandemic, and it's hard hard to bring that back. But if you look back at what people have said, Desmond Tutu said, do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world.
That's right. You don't have to do the whole elephant. Just one little bite makes a difference, one bite at a time.
Ronald Reagan said, we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. So, I mean, it's been recognized. Again, we'll talk a bit later about the benefits to the individual that volunteers as distinct from how that helps the community. But volunteerism is extremely important.
It really is, and especially in times of economic challenge, which a lot of organizations, certainly here in Southern Arizona, because we are an area that has one of the highest nonprofit rates per capita. We have so many nonprofit organizations, and everybody's scrambling for funding. And the funding is a little tough right now, especially for those organizations who may have been very dependent on federal funding. So things are shifting. Everyone's feeling a tighter belt, and volunteers make all the difference in helping to alleviate that. Even professional volunteers, folks that might be a loaned executive or those kinds of things. So we can talk. I know we're going to go a little bit more into that. We're getting a little bit close to our first break here.
Okay.
So just letting all of our listeners and viewers know, please stick with us because we're going to speak a little bit more about how to get engaged with the volunteering and the organizations that seem to be doing a great job at it. You're listening to Rainmaker. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we're speaking with Jim Murphy this morning. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And Lydia, today, as you mentioned earlier, is International Cello Day. It's because it's on December 29th because it's the birthday of Pablo Casals, greatest musician ever to draw a bow, as he's described. He transformed the role of the cello, inspiring generations of players, and is widely credited with bringing Bach's solo cello suites back into the concert repertoire after they had long been dismissed as mere technical studies. So there you go.
So really enhancing the music. And of course, we're listening to the smooth Smokey Robinson voice, another great contributor to music. So we're doing pretty good on this Rainmakers morning.
Indeed. We'll be right back.
We are family here at KVOI Studios, especially on a Monday morning, because it's an early morning. We're talking about Rainmakers, the Morning Voice Monday segment. And I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. It's been such a pleasure this whole year. 2025 is coming to a close. So on this final Monday of 2025, we've been speaking to two fabulous guests. And our first was Lisa Sesmagay, who is GM of Casino del Sol Resorts, and she spoke a lot about her career path, her trajectory as she ended up made her way up into this role, but also what her organization and her tribe are doing out in community, and the way that not only they give back by investing money and support sponsorships and things of that nature, but also the volunteering aspect that comes from that organization. Now we are speaking with Jim Murphy, and Jim is wearing many hats today, partially as a Rotarian. He's very big with Rotary Club, but also with AARP Southern Arizona. In both of those capacities, spends a lot of time making sure that our community and members of those kind of organizations understand the power that they have in their hands and the good that they do with volunteering. Jim, it's been wonderful. I'm so glad that you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Yes. And one of the reasons volunteering is a really big topic in Rainmakers, we started our very first show back in February when the Morning Voice launched. Rainmakers started its first episode speaking completely on volunteerism and the way that that can help transform a community. And we were speaking before the break about the fact that Tucson and Southern Arizona have such a high number of nonprofits, and because of that, are very dependent on people understanding their cause, participating in the cause, and that means a lot of volunteers. So with that, right before the break, we were talking a little bit about some statistics about people who tend to give back with their time and their talent. And now we're going to speak a little bit more about formal volunteering. So when there are organizations that are dependent about this, that put volunteer teams together or corporations that create volunteer employee groups. Tell us a little bit more about all that kind of stuff. The formal volunteering, I think it's about almost 30% of Americans reported volunteering through an organization, not just independently, in the latest survey a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and that's growing, as I mentioned, after the pandemic, which mm-hmm. really life just changed so much then. And the volunteerism, at least through the statistics through 2024, are not quite up. They may be by now to where they were before the pandemic. There's always a lag, but at least there's some statistics. And informal volunteering, helping your neighbor, whatever, that is hard to get a handle on, and the statistics are not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, 28% increase. So formal volunteers served an estimated 4.9 billion hours.
That's a lot of hours,
Jim. Lot of hours of giving of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the economic value of that, because they try to identify the financial value of volunteering in certain capacities, because without that they'd have to have employees or the service wouldn't
exactly.
be rendered.
It picks
so the
up
economic
the slack.
Value of those 4.9 billion hours was over $167 billion in economic value. So
it really does translate. Sometimes people don't think about that, but it really does translate into, like you said, organizations, be they for-profit or non-profit, really benefit from that, because then they don't have to, they may not be able to pay for what it would take in a staff member.
That's exactly
right.
Or an
right. employee.
That's right. So it has significant value. We mentioned the food bank, you
yes.
know, going down and packing boxes.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of food that's donated is tremendous. And then the hours that volunteers contribute to package those boxes mm-hmm. to get them out to various distribution sites would not happen
right.
at the significant level that it does. So,
or packing backpacks in you know, before each school year when there are backpack giveaways, or putting together medical supplies
exactly.
or first aid kits for folks just to simply have in their homes, just to keep our community safe. And those could be for elders at home. It could be for young families, might be for single parents with new babies. Lots of different assembling
absolutely.
that is needed, not only at holidays for gifts. That's important,
right.
you know, to help people celebrate, but it really is about that daily activity, even pet food boxes
sure.
or pet supplies that people may need. Somebody's got to unload and pack and distribute. You know, those things don't happen all by themselves.
Right. And food bank activities happen not just at our formal food bank, but at food bank distribution sites
mm-hmm.
or food bank collection sites also
sure.
outside of the formal one.
Sure.
The one other impact, and don't know exactly why after the pandemic, is that although more individuals are formally volunteering, the number of hours served per person has decreased. So,
you know, that is, it sounds a little counterintuitive. One would have thought that maybe there would be more of that. One school of thought I've heard is that having gone through sort of the having to shelter in place and be a little bit separated, and I think you touched on this earlier, that people got a little bit into the habit of kind of making sure their own home was okay. And that also creates a little bit of fatigue, you know, that then they're like, oh, I just can't get up and do that. Or maybe they're not healthy enough.
Right.
They don't have as much energy and stamina, so they can give back time and talent, but maybe not as much. So there are lots of different philosophies on that.
Maybe the economy has an impact. If you have to work more hours
to make up the difference,
you don't have that much time or energy left.
That's right.
Some companies really promoted volunteerism within their employees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's happening at the same level
mm-hmm.
that it did prior. Again, maybe for the same economic reasons. Some companies still do that and are known for that. So there are a number of factors, I think, that have come together. But the other good part of what is happening now, that the national rates have increased dramatically for individuals having being active in organizational membership,
mm-hmm.
Attending public meetings,
mm-hmm.
joining with neighbors to improve the community, a lot of those sins in advocacy for various issues. So when you think of volunteerism, you don't always think of that kind of level of volunteering for a cause, whether it's animals, and maybe not directly in a service, but in advocating for some issues dealing sure. with the community and issues.
You bring up a really good point there. The advocacy is a creature in itself and has lots of different ways for people to advocate. But when they're doing that, it is a different type of volunteering when they're using their voice or their networks or their skills and their brains and their talents in that way.
Right.
That takes a certain set of skills and interests. Some mm-hmm. people just don't want to get into what might end up influencing policy or opportunity
right.
or legislation or anything like that. And others love that part. So that really is a very different way. Serving on advisory boards, boards of directors, advisory councils, governing boards, often, not always, but often is a volunteer effort.
Well, it is most of the time. And
most of the time for nonprofits
it is
certainly.
Because no one is paid.
Right.
And depending on the level of that organization and the board members play a major or not so major role. And if the board members are not on their feet and really looking at the business, it may not support the executive director the way it should.
That's right.
Or it may not oversee the executive director the way they should, and the organization suffers. So, but that is a volunteer effort.
It's
a major one.
It's a very major one, and we'll talk a little bit more of that. We're up to our next commercial break. So, Matt, I hear you're playing some I Want to Get Next to You by Rose Royce. And we hope those volunteers get next to us. So stay tuned after this commercial break. We'll talk a little bit more. And Rainmakers, The Morning Voice. And we're back at the bottom of the hour for our second hour here on Rainmakers on this final Monday of 2025. We're at December 29th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, for Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, here on 1030 The Voice at KVOI. Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us going with some great tunes. We were just listening to Crop Dustin by Stephen Cropper, because crop dusting was probably a volunteer activity back in the day, too. Some farmers probably needed some help, and maybe it was a little bit of a community effort.
Excellent segue. And, you know, this is the great thing about The Morning Voice. You know, today you meet your neighbors that are out doing some community partnerships and nonprofits. Right. You know, you'll meet on Wednesdays, you'll meet local business folks. On mm-hmm. Tuesdays, you'll meet policymakers. But it's all local. You're learning about Tucson. You're learning about Southern Arizona. That's what I just love about this show. And kudos to you for bringing in such great guests week in and week out on Rainmakers.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. I couldn't do it without you. And people love coming, despite the fact that it is an early Monday morning. People leave here smiling. They get excited to come on and tell a little bit about what they're doing or how they're doing it or what help they might need.
And I'm telling you, our listeners are not going to hear anything like this anywhere else.
That's
so this
right.
is just wonderful. So
that's
thanks
right.
for what you
well,
do. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to say thank you for Jim Murphy for showing up on during the holidays on this final Monday morning, when he's got lots of great things that you do in town here, Jim. You come from a very long and varied public service oriented and servant leadership career, and in retirement have continued to give back in many different ways, particularly with the Rotary Club and AARP. And I'm so excited to have you in this morning, because we're talking about volunteering, and it really is a lot more to it than many people realize. It can be formal, informal. You can start when you're young and really put that altruism spirit into kids or young adults of all ages, and show that one person can make a difference with just one act of kindness. It really doesn't have to be all things to everybody. There's a place for everybody to volunteer. So right before the break, we were speaking a little bit about the statistics. In fact, I'm going to say it again, that formal volunteers served an estimated 4.9 billion hours, and which translates into about $167 billion in economic value. And that was between September 2022 and 2023. And those are real stats. They come from the AmeriCorps analysis of the Census Bureau's current current population survey civic engagement and volunteering supplement. Whew, that's a very long study, but it shows that it's a real study. We're not just making up these hours. I mean, it's a big difference, almost 5 billion hours and $1.67 billion in economic value. So volunteering is something you've really made a strong craft at. You've honed your craft. Tell us more. What do we need to know about the good, the bad, and the ugly of volunteering?
Well, first, let me say that both of you mentioned 8 o'clock on a Monday morning and and a smile, and I'm trying. Having retired many times, getting up at 8 o'clock is not a problem. Getting going before 8 o'clock is something different.
That's true. Being up is one thing. Being out and about is another.
Anyhow, the good,
well,
bad,
we appreciate
and the,
it.
Yeah. The good, bad, and the ugly. I think it's a shame when we talk about volunteerism that we don't talk about volunteering and how it can be a good or bad experience.
Yes.
And there are four areas that I like to talk about.
Okay.
One is understanding your job and the role in the workplace, strike a balance between personal life and volunteer work. Of course,
mm-hmm.
that goes for paid job also.
Sure.
The difficulty of setting boundaries,
yes.
As a volunteer and managing your own time, and then overcoming challenges that maybe stop you from producing the best outcomes for yourself in a volunteer position. So let's go back to the first one, understanding your job and role in the workplace. Large nonprofits have volunteer coordinators. They have many more resources.
Mm-hmm.
They do volunteer training initially, both about the company and about your specific job and your role. Medium to smaller nonprofits don't have that luxury all the
right.
time. So some volunteers come in at a disadvantage to the organization because those resources aren't available. So I think when you're volunteering, you need to understand the organization, you need to understand their capacity and your own capacity, because mm-hmm. it could lead to problems.
Sure. Because it's still a role. It's not a paid role, compensated in that sense, but it is an important role, and it still is a face of the organization.
Absolutely.
And so
both
in
terms of their how they present themselves, mm-hmm. how they do their job.
And what they don't have to worry about, where they can very safely say, you know, in my role as a volunteer, I'm not really in that department, but let me let you know who to ask.
Absolutely.
And just be able to hand it off.
Some common sense and courtesies
yes.
go a long way
they
in
sure
paid
do.
Or volunteerism. So it really makes a big difference in understanding your role. And it is something that you make a commitment to, and you should fulfill that commitment. Some people, well, I'm just volunteering. Doesn't matter if I show up today. That is the wrong attitude.
It sure is.
For volunteering and for making a commitment and not keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's something that the organization has to deal with,
sure.
those kinds of attitudes sometimes.
Yeah.
Your personal life and volunteer and your volunteer work, making sure you leave on time, the traffic, all of that, the same as if you were working. So
mm-hmm.
It's that balance, setting boundaries and managing your time. I've been engaged in a lot of different nonprofits at different levels. And I know in one organization many years ago, the development fundraising director and a volunteer from the board of directors leading a particular major fundraising effort started to have some issues.
Uh-oh.
The volunteer board member felt he or she was in charge
and
telling everybody what to do,
yeah.
and the development director had his or her own opinions, and it came to a real problem that the board had to address with the executive director because of not understanding the roles between the volunteer and
the organization,
and
kind of
so.
who had rank, so to speak,
right.
and really being able to be clear. I think
and
you make a good
particular roles were.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, because when there are advisory boards as well as governing boards, in either capacity, even governing boards don't have final say on everything. I mean, there is a staff or an executive director or whatever, somebody running daily operations. And then there are people making governing decisions. And there can be a lot of gray area there. So it can be very clear in bylaws and things like that. And it's not to create more bureaucracy. No. It's to make those things clear. Job descriptions or role descriptions just help set those parameters
because
a little
again,
bit better.
In nonprofits, the board are not paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they do hire and fire the executive director, president, CEO, whatever that title might be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not supposed to dip down into the organization.
Into daily operations, yeah.
And interfere with the ongoing operation. And that happens with individuals on a board that the
sure.
board has to address the other board member.
Yeah.
It happens as a full board sometimes where, you know, they start to bypass the executive director. So those relationships, and it's nice to say that the board of directors and the CEO should have a partnership relationship, but it's not always that, and both of those have to understand that. Trying to make it a partnership is great.
Yes.
You know.
And that's a full, that's kind of an ongoing, an evergreen experience as well as people go down the road.
It is.
So that can be overcoming, also you brought up overcoming the challenges of producing the best outcomes for yourself and others.
Right.
Taking also the time to step back, or how I interpret that, stepping back a little bit to see the bigger picture. What are we trying to do here? What's the purpose? What's the intention? And how can we all as a team get there together?
And what you're looking for initially when you take that volunteer opportunity and whether you're able to accomplish it is sometimes a challenge. Just like anything, sometimes you go into something with the wrong reason, you know, and you may not have the best outcome.
That's right.
When you're going in and in that first part of the orientation process, it helps you, I think, understand better what your job and role is, and then you can have a much better relationship if you understand that and if that's in concert with what you're looking for.
Sure.
Because there's so many different reasons. We'll talk about that maybe in the next segment. But
well, we can probably hit on some of that right now.
Okay.
I think one of the things that you had mentioned you want to make sure to bring about, and I think is a great thing too, is health and volunteering. And I think you're alluding to that and working into that, where if you as a volunteer know, and you may not know, you may discover it along the way, but if you kind of know why you want to do something, maybe
right.
it's because you want to socialize more, maybe it's because you have had a bit of a windfall and you want to share it in the sense of not only donating money, but donating your time because you've got the flexibility to do so.
Yeah.
There are reasons that one wants to go and engage. So your own health and volunteering come together in a lot of different ways. I think you've got some statistics about that, yes?
Well, just some areas that this has been studied scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I know not everybody believes in science, and people can interpret different studies in different ways, but most of the real strong studies on volunteerism and looking at individuals have shown that it decreases your risk of depression. You enjoy a sense of purpose and fulfillment. You stay physically and mentally active,
mm-hmm.
where if you're just sitting around TV, you know, around the house all day, you're going to get depressed. And so many of our elderly people...
Or just passive. You just don't
passive.
Start to be active enough. And,
that's
and
true.
We need to activate our brains.
It helps reduce stress levels because you're engaged in something. You're not just sitting and thinking about, oh my God, the world's terrible, you know?
Exactly. Sometimes too much news and TV can be a little sad.
Yeah. And most
or overwhelming. It can make us feel powerless. So I wonder if, do you think or have they studied that one of the benefits of volunteering means I know that I can control my task? You know, I feel a little bit more in control of that. I can give back and make be productive in some way and be contributing in some way.
Much more satisfaction, or control, exactly, yeah.
A little bit control of the where the world is spinning
right.
to, yes.
And they talk about the happiness effect, that is something real.
And much don't like, we all need a little bit of that?
Much like people have it with little kids, or when they hear kids laugh,
mm-hmm.
or animals. I mean, talk about the happiness effect of so many things in life.
And
you don't see it in that same context. You don't express it the same way of having this happiness effect, but they've studied the effect on people. And so,
and it's pretty powerful. We are, believe it or not, at the next commercial break. So I'm going to pause this right there. When we come back, we'll do a real quick recap of the health benefits. And then let's tell our listeners and viewers where they can look to find out more about volunteering. Does that sound good?
Sound good.
All righty. Matt, take us away. Such a great tune as we come back in for the last segment of this last Monday of the last month in 2025. Rainmakers, the morning voice, the Monday segment of the show. And we are here on 1030 The Voice KVOI on your AM station. We are just listening to What You See Is What You Get, which seems kind of appropriate when we talk about volunteering. Sometimes it's just really down to the basics that people want to make a difference. And we were speaking before the break with our guest Jim Murphy about the health benefits, personal health benefits of volunteering, decreasing depression, enjoying a sense of purpose and fulfillment, experiencing the happiness effect, and guess what? Maybe even delaying or reversing any kind of declining brain function, which happens to all of us as we walk down the path a little bit longer. You know, sometimes we have those things, but also reducing stress, and that's a good thing for everybody. Jim, I know that we're going to be wrapping up here quickly, but let's talk about, I know that a couple things. I'm wondering two things. What might be some key motivations for volunteering? And also, of all of your observations in volunteering in the many, many years that you continue to be a lead for such big organizations like Rotary Club, Pima Council on Aging, AARP, and others, what would be your best advice for someone in Tucson about what to do next in their volunteering? So those are my two questions as we wrap this up.
Well, there are so many opportunities, and maybe just very quickly talk about some of those so it might trigger somebody to say, oh, yeah, that area might be something, such a community and social service. I mean, there's food banks, homeless shelters, family support, disaster relief, like the Red Cross, health and human services, hospitals need an awful lot of...
They need you to come in and hold the little babies.
Assisted living facilities, which are growing now with the aging of the population.
That's right.
Mental health organizations need an awful lot of support. Disability advocacy. So many people are growing older, and as they do, they get many more disabilities. The environment, parks, wildlife conservation, ocean cleanup. That's not something real close to us right
not
now.
Not close to us, but I bet we could participate from an advocacy
that's very true.
Opportunity, or maybe take a little road trip.
After-school programs. There's an awful lot of opportunity with, different organizations, libraries, sports teams, arts and culture, civic and political. I mean, voter registration drives, certainly advocacy groups, political campaigns, religious and spiritual. The greatest number of volunteers, I believe, are within faith communities. There's more volunteering within faith communities than any other specific area.
I think you're right. And as we wrap up, I know we only have about 30 seconds left. I wonder if we show our folks, I'll hold up a screen, maybe you can read out loud, of Create the Good, AARP Real Possibilities, talks about where do I look. So there's actually a website, www.createthegood.org.
Right.
And I'm going to hold up this list as
there's
maybe you go through.
There's also UnitedWay.org. volunteermatch.org/volunteers, Encore, Friends is a great way, faith communities, and maybe I shouldn't talk about local, but Pima Council on Aging has many, many volunteer opportunities, such as long-term care ombudsman training, a volunteer to be in each assisted living facility to support individuals, help people with Medicare and counseling, the Neighbors Care Alliance, or organizations throughout the community that help drive older adults and disabled, interfaith community service organization
like
that,
that
does all kinds of different things. Literacy Connects, Make Way for Books, Animal Control, Therapeutic Writing of Tucson. So there are so many volunteer opportunities. There are two resources that I just found recently. One is Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, November 23, printed a listing of every nonprofit in Tucson.
How wonderful
I
is that?
I haven't been able to see if they've updated this list, but there's another one.
Well, we will send people there as we wrap up because they're going to shut our mics off here, so we got to go.
Okay.
But a great way to wrap Wrap-Up 2025, Jim Murphy with Rotary Club and AARP of Southern Arizona. Thank you so much for all you do. I hope you'll come back again in the new year.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. It's been a great year, Matt Neely, wishing you and your family and all
happy
of
new
our
year,
viewers
lady.
And listeners a happy new year. Same to you, and we'll see you again in 2026. Come back and see us on January 5th. We'll be here live.